has a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know.
Thank you for coming to my website on this first day of the year 2017. This is PJ, your internet pastor. I want to thank those of you that have written me by email encouraging me to do what I do. It was.
Now I need a place to hide away.
Yeah.
Oh, I believe in yesterday.
I believe in yesterday because today is a mess. I'm telling you, the first day of 2017. I went to a kind of like a gathering, a party last night. I heard people making statements that God is God, so I'm God too. Wow, blew my mind. I took one of the young men with me to it, and I said, why don't you come out with me to watch the new year in with a group of guys that I've grown to really love and appreciate. But it was a spiritual meeting, and they were trying to get people to get into meditating, things like that. I told the host that I've been into meditation most of my adult life. Since I was 23 years old, I've bowed the knee to God. But to hear words like, we are God, we are the same as God, and we have that, that's blasphemous. It's blasphemous. And the young man that went with me was asking me about it, and he said, I was looking at you, but you can't look at me when I'm in religious meetings to pick up cues like that because I'm an apologist. I listen very closely. I didn't interrupt the speakers. I didn't correct them. I didn't try to tell them anything. Who am I to blow against the wind? Who am I to blow against the wind? But I mean, you know what? There's some absolutes. If a man is looking to be redeemed by his God, by his deity, and it matters not to me whether that person is a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Christian, a Muslim, a Sikh, or whatever their religion is. If you know anything about deities, you're not equal with them or greater than they. I recall a little over 20 years ago, this mess, this idolatrous idea creeps into the minds of men that as God is, so they are. No. I believe that there are many scriptures that says, I am God and there is none else. That is God saying that you're a sham, you're a liar. You are not gods. You cannot control your own destiny with your thoughts. You can't. If God intends for a diesel truck to hit you, go through the intersection that you happen to be going through. Wait a minute, let's make this personal. Me, I'm in the car going through the intersection, and the diesel truck hits my little Mini Coupe and decimates it, that's a better word, destroys it, and I'm in it. All praises be to he that did it. I have no power to change it. I cannot change history. I cannot change the outcome of any event that comes my way. I was outraged, though I looked in the face of the man that was speaking and I asked myself, well, maybe this is all they have. Maybe this, the first year of 2017, this is what we've come to. I've come to believe this and I shall always believe this. I believe that apart from knowing God personally, that every single one of us are helpless and hopeless and sinful. And there's nothing that we can do that can turn that around. Now, I'm not talking about how we appear before other men, because the way we appear before other men is stupid, just like they are. Men are stupid, we stupid. We know that. I took one of the boys from the house here with me to this New Year's gathering last night. He told me only two people spoke with me, really, and no one else paid me any attention at all. Man, you know what? And let me say this. When you refuse to connect, man, especially you're going to try to be spiritual, and you refuse to connect with the people that come around you, that shows the hypocrisy of your religious jargon. I'm still a pastor in my mind. I can never not be a pastor. You guys understand that? I'm totally resigned from that position of being a pulpiteer, a pastor. This is New Year's morning, Sunday morning. I would be preaching, but I woke up this morning late because I didn't go to bed till about 2:30, 3 o'clock. And I woke up and I was thinking, I don't make New Year's resolutions. I know how to be better. Be better. You don't have to tell yourself to be better. They had an exercise, and I participated in this exercise. They said, I want you to write down where you are in your heart and where you want to be 6 months from now, and put that note or whatever in an envelope and write your name and an address on there. And they had stamps, put it on there, and I'm going to mail it to you in 6 months, and we're going to see if you've reached your business. You know what? I don't do that. You know what I wrote down? I know what I wrote down, and I know that it will never be perfected because humans are debauched. They're totally debauched. Totally. You may wish, you may pray, you may do all of that. You have to know that. So apart from God, we're all helpless. We're all sinners. We have all missed the mark. You know, I was counseling a young man that was speaking to me last night. He told me that he came from one city in this country to Los Angeles, or to another city. Well, he came here to help his father run the church. The church is going down, and he came to do that, and other people have been joining the church, and since they've been joining the church, he was distraught. I saw him at the meeting, and he said, you know, you were absolutely right at what you told me. And I said, what do you mean? He said, they put me out of the church because I was gay. I said, what? I said, my father put me out of the church and told me that I could not help him any longer in the church because I was gay. And I said, did your father know that you were gay from day one? He says, he had to have known. I said, well, why did he put the hypocrisy of it all? Because he got someone else that could help him with the work that wasn't gay, and he wanted to keep that or that look. So his father, the pastor, used him. The young man was decimated. He was speaking to me, and I walked him to his car. And I told him, you know, man, that's really a damnable shame, but I told you that's what the church is all about. If it doesn't meet their criterion of what is righteous or what is, well, they're going to marginalize you. Devastated that young man's life. So I said that all of us are really needing God in that way. In Psalm 51, verse 5, it says, surely I have been a sinner from birth. See, everybody knows that. And it says, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So each of us that spewed from a woman's womb are filthy wretches, all bathed in the blood of sin. None of us are righteous, even those of us that love in a different manner. All right? I have more Bible. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray, even this young man's daddy, the pastor. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that is, on the mediator, the iniquity of us all, not some, but all. I tell people that if they have an individual belief in God, messed up by the lives of other people that try to marginalize you, I read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, just as sin has entered into the world through one man, that is the first man that was on the planet, and death through sin, in other words, Adam was messed up, so he died, all of his children died, we're going to die, I'm surely going to die. It says, and in this way, death came to all men because what? Because what? All has sinned. See, if I was this young man, I would have told my daddy, Daddy, you's a hoe yourself. You hoeing after money and you used me to do it. You tried to use me to keep these people captivated by your hand and by your hypnotic voice and your tone. You know, I've never done that. Never done that. Oh my goodness, wait a minute, you aren't convinced? Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12 says, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? The answer is no. The Apostle Paul is asking a rhetorical question. Are we any better? No, we're not. Not at all. And then he says, we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. All of us. Let's enter into this new year, 2017, not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. See, there was a real preacher in the room last night, but this preacher was silenced. He's been silenced by the majority of the people that is looking for superstition and witchcraft. Now, you know, I embraced that brother in a very warm and gentle way. The brother was down and said, come here, man. I love you. I'll always love you. I don't have that wishy-washy, shabby kind of love. Well, I love you when things are going well, but I'm not going to love you when you're outside of the popular view. And I told him I'm going to call him, and indeed I am. I will call him and spend more time with him. As a matter of fact, I'm on vacation, don't have too much to do. I'm going to make it a point. And the guy is driving Uber now. Good for him. Make some money. Keep some money in his pocket. And make your life work. Well, I wonder who this is. Somebody calling me on the first day of my show. By the sea. I'll be back in a minute. Let me get this. Yeah. A cousin wishing me Happy New Year. She made a statement. She says, made a statement like a resolution. And I said, no, I don't do that. I said, If you're going to stop doing something, just stop it. You know, they were talking about meditation last night, and I told the host, very nice gentleman. I really love the brother. He was talking about meditation, and I said, you know what? It's interesting that you chose this topic to speak about tonight because my whole life has been a life of meditation. Before I got out of bed this morning, the first thing that I said to my God was, well, you got me up, so you must have something for me to say or to do. Then I go to my mail and I find a person that I haven't heard from in a long time had written me. I guess they went to my website to see how I was doing and seeing that I was thinking about shutting everything down. And they admonished me not to do it. They said, I listened to you. I am. I think it's wretched what man has done to religion. And fighting and killing each other. Look at the Muslims. You're killing your own people over there. You're blowing them out of the towns they were in, causing them to become refugees and to come over here. And then we're holding them suspect because their ideology is completely different from ours. Mars from the Western culture. Marred, that is, from the Western culture. Citizens can think about doing something to them as if they were doing something horrendous to us. Is this the world that we live in now? Is this what has become of our society, the way we live. Oh, my friends, I'm telling you. When I think about life and what it has to offer to people and how people misconstrue it, you know, it reminds me that all of us are in spiritual bondage. All of us. Have you ever read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19? Reads like this. They, the false prophets, promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. What has mastered me? What has mastered you? I'll tell you one thing. I pay a lot of attention to what can keep me healthy and well. But that keeps me healthy and well has not mastered me. I'm not mastered by a principle. No, there's too many principles in the world to be mastered by one. Nah. All of us also are alienated from God. I didn't know whether you know that. It says, look what it says in Romans 3:20. No one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. In other words, that means what you think is right and how you live right and how you treat. Well, God's going to look at you. No, you're not declared right by that foolishness. Rather, through the law, we become conscience of sin. That's the only thing that the Bible is for. The Bible makes us totally, perfectly aware that we are unrighteous individuals. That's what I get out of reading my Bible. I see that I'm corrupt. I don't need anyone to tell me, John, you're corrupt. I know that I'm corrupt. See, so what I do, since I know that I'm corrupt, is I have to guard my life. Guard my life against corruption that can make God frown on me. You know, often I tell the young men that I try to influence with my life and my words, and they said, oh, you're like this. I said, no, I'm not like that. I've never been like that. I don't know how to be like that. That would be mastering the corruption. I don't want to do that. The corruption is because of the nature of what we are. And I think that's why Christianity becomes such a bummer. To straight people, to gay people, to everything. Christianity as a faith, as a religion, is a bummer. If you're not doing anything wrong against God and you love a person deeply of the same sexual that you are, that's you and the love that you have for that person. No one else's business. Are you doing anything corrupt? Are you doing anything that God would ask you not to do? Are you treating that person in an obtuse way? Are you? That would be like me not wanting to marry, let's say, someone from Papua New Guinea. Their whole culture is against mine. Their whole way of thinking is against mine. They couldn't. No, I don't want to fall in love with anyone from a different culture than mine. I want to be with someone that is more entitled to be like me than that. The inevitable question is to a lot of people, well, will PJ go back to church? And for what? What am I going there for? Oh, no. No, no, no. Knowledge comes through the law of God. God in his justice will whack those that misrepresent him. And that is what so frightened me last night. I was looking at that, and I didn't want to show it on my face. I really tried hard not to show it on my face, but man, I'm saying these people must not have read Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. It says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. See, I'm reading from the Bible. I'm not reading from some New Age. Let's try to find a verse that's going to make us feel comfortable. When I joined organizations, I said, you know what? I'm a retired pastor. These are the things that have kept my life and has kept me growing and has kept me strong. Look what it says. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God, you see? Because when you submit to God's law, God is going to change that nature. You can't change your nature. You can't govern what you do unless you find yourself submissive to the God that created you. And human beings won't do that. Human beings are angry against God. That's our nature. I don't know what these new preachers are doing to these people. I go to the internet. I go to YouTube. I look at what's happening in church, number one. You would, you feel me. You know, what has happened? What have we lost, for God's sake? What have we, what happened to the brains in the church? What happened to the thinking minds? And you have all these crazy women standing up talking this trash. I went to somewhere on Facebook this morning, and some woman in her living room got all these people following her, and she's beating on the tambourine, acting foolish, talking about fall at the feet of Jesus and all this. I said, it is on the level of voodoo when you talk about Christianity, because Christianity is not that. A Christian is not a person that exercises his faith in a notorious way to try to show that he is in any way, or she is in any way, better are better off than anyone else. My heart melted last night when that brother told me, because he was gay, his father said he don't want to have anything to do with them. I said, what? I said, your mother too? I said, really? And this guy is well over 30 years old. I said, you haven't brought this to a showdown? What? Let me tell you something. If that's religion, you can keep it. Because I know a lot of non-gay people in the church that are fornicating every other day, lying to their wives, cheating with the money, doing everything. I pastored a good-sized church. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not lying to you. These scandalous individuals. And then they're going to try to marginalize you like that. It is no wonder that the church has failed. The church has become the living epitome of foolishness in this country. And that is why God is not looking for a professed Christian to back up his modus operandi. Oh, no. Oh, no. You cannot save yourself in any other way but coming to God in his way. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, two of my favorite verses, it says, it is by grace, that means favor, that we have been saved or called upon by God. If God at all has beckoned you, it is because he favors what you are doing for his cause. It's not about how many hours you put in working in the church or working for the pastor or how much money you give him or how much money you have or do not have. It has nothing to do with that. For it is by grace that we have been saved. Now, this word being saved, being highly favored. Now, being highly favored by God, God intends to give you life because God knows that you're going to continue to do what he called you to do. You've seen my foolishness the past two or three weeks on this website talking about I think I'm going to stop. Nobody else is listening. If you are listening, email me and say something. Well, a few people have. A few people have. And I really appreciate that because I have no way of knowing who's listening to my voice. I don't know who I am trying to help. If it's my brothers in Africa, please don't write and ask me for money. I don't have money to send you. I need you to send me some money. I need you to believe God for yourself. Stop playing games over there. You don't have to have a Bible when you teach people the Bible because the Muslim's going to come in and beat your head in. You don't need a Bible. You know what the Bible says. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, why didn't I speak up early this morning at the New Year celebration and tell those brothers that they were on the wrong track? Wasn't my calling to do that. Wasn't my calling to do it. If they come to my website and listen to this webcast, they're going to know exactly what the Hades I'm talking about. There's only one God, and you're not he. You don't have the ability to ever become him. It is blasphemous to even think that in your filthy nature that you are anything like it. That was one of the most ridiculous things that I've heard last night or early this morning. And blasphemous, that's what it was. Now, when I get a chance to speak to the speaker, I will let him know. You know what? I cannot cordially agree with you when you make those little statements like that, because what you're doing is you're leading people astray. And you know what God said? If you lead someone astray, because the young man that was with me, one of my sons, he looked at me and he said, I kept looking at you and you didn't say anything. You didn't go off. I know you didn't agree. Of course I didn't. I don't say anything. There is no reason to say it. I want them to see what this place has become. And it seems like, you know, it's that Beckwith guy that got that Agape church down there. They teach that stuff. It's some kind of crazy mysticism, man. But if you've never studied religion, if you've never studied falseness, see, I'm an apologist. I have to be that. I think I'll put the old frame of reference back up on my website, because then to the word apologetics is the biblical alternative. That's all I've been quoting is the Bible. That's the only thing that I have to back me up. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. See, and all this, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I'm going to say, most of us, including me, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what it's like. I'm just going to be as truthful as a heart attack. I don't know. I read this lovely book. I read these wonderful things. I want to believe that they're all true. But then when I see man's attempt to twist the meaning of this, I am totally contrasted and turned the heck off. And I would hope that you would become that way. Be turned off by man's ambivalence. Ah, good word to look up. You think they're this way, but they're really the other way. And then you got people walking around like this poor unfortunate guy feeling bad because of what his daddy did. I said, man, don't let that bother you. There's millions of these people on this globe. There are people that will kill you because of their religion. And it has no warrantability about it at all. We live in an egalitarian, utilitarian hodgepodge of foolishness. And y'all look that up. I'm not going to explain that to you. Come on. We're far more advanced in our lives than having me explain every little thing to you. It's time to move on to maturity, to the next level, if I may put it that way. Time for us to move up, to move on. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, if you are not ready to make that move on your own and to discover that what I'm saying is true, then you're going to be in bondage by some other man and some other man in the religious organization called the church. And it's terrible. I can only imagine that the churches are making New Year's resolutions and none of them can keep it because their natures are so bent out of proportion. And the people that go there are so bent hell crazy on making the bishop's life work. What can you rhyme with 2017? Just rhyme it with it and make it sound prosperous. And that's a new saying. They're all looking for it for the first of the year. I was by chance switching through the channels and, Paul and Jan Crouch are both dead. And so their shenanigans and everything. But I went to that TBN station that they have. And man, the people that they left alive are milking that cow for every penny they can get out of it. See. And people are still going to church to be entertained. Well, thank you for those of you that's been writing me, telling me, John, we need to hear your soothing words of confidence. We really need you to tell us that it's all right to be different and indifferent to this religious order that has taken over. What am I looking forward to in 2017? Absolutely nothing different from what I look forward in 2016. The guys that say that everything is going to end, They're saying, well, the end is, and I'm talking about the economy and all of those things, is upon us, and that may be. I don't care about Barack Obama and what he did. I didn't care for him before he got elected. I don't care for him now. I don't care for Donald Trump. He's just a rich man that is in that house like Obama was, and rich people kept him there. And I don't worship no man. His wife, she's a beautiful woman. He's a handsome man. They have lovely children. That's a fine thing. I don't know them personally, so I don't know why I would even offer any prayers for him, because he's working for another master. See, Barack Obama is not working for the same master I'm working for. Mine is a heavenly, divine creator who created the heavens and the earth. Barack Obama may be in the estimate of men until January the 20th, 19 more days from now, the most powerful man on the planet and the most powerful man over this country. But he is not more powerful over the God that I worship and the God that I serve. I would tell Barack Obama, like Moses told Pharaoh. You remember when Pharaoh said, who is God that I may know him? I don't know him. I've never seen him. After the plagues, he said, take your people and go. This was a real thing. Read the history of Egypt. It's right there before you. That's the God I worship. That's the God I serve. And I'm not like him in any way. It's blasphemous even to think that I'm anything like him. I thought about interrupting the guy when he was speaking last night, but I just looked at him and I had to smile on my face. In time. In time. And you know what? I will never believe that I am anything like God. I think if anything warranted me to bust tail wide open is if I would make a blasphemous statement like that. Somewhere in the Old Testament scriptures, I'll end with this. He says, I am God, and there is none else. There ain't no other God. Remember where it said, thou shalt not have other gods before you? What? Did you ever read that? Are you crazy? Are you dumb? Are you stupid? Are you blind? They have deceivers out there, deceiving people in every nook and cranny in this country. And it's not about being afraid to speak up, because if I speak up again, guess what? I'm going to lose another group of friends. I'm going to lose another group. Every time I speak up, I lose friendships, because people want to believe a lie and they feel comfortable in that lie. Well, they're going to be comfortable in their own lie, not me. I would say to my God, there's only you. There's only me in this universe. Oh, I see these other human beings. They get hungry. They need a friend. They need a hug, a kiss. They need some encouragement. They need some money. I understand that. But it's just you and me, God. And I'm going to extol you, worship you, honor you, and adore you, and treat other human beings the way you've told me to treat them. And when it comes time for me to stand up and to choose my part, I'll say, oh, I sat in your meetings and I heard your tomfoolery, and I kindly smile. I was laughing at you for being so ignorant. Why couldn't you know, with all the apparatuses of study that we have amongst us, that there is only one God, and all the people around the whole globe worships that one God if they're in contact with him? You don't have to know why they put this paint on them, or eat the food they eat, or chant the little chants and bury their loved ones on stilts above the ground, as opposed to us putting them in little holes and coffins. Oh, we may be different in the way we take care of our dead. We may be different in the foods that we eat. We may be different in all of those things. But there's one way that we're not different. Each of us will stand before our Creator, and you won't be standing before no other human beings. No, each of us will stand before our Creator on a given time period that He has sustained in the universe. and everybody's life comes to an end. That's called death. That means the end of your world. And when the end of your, you see, we don't even want to think about that, do we? Not on New Year's Day. But when the end of your world comes, you're not going to wake up. You won't be able to wake up because maggots have already started to eat your body. The shell of a body that we live in will be eaten. That's why when it suffers and it's in pain, understand the maggots are eating. Wait a minute, I beg your pardon? What did you think the man of God's role was? To make you feel good? No, that's called the fake hireling. The fake hireling. See, you pay him to keep you in bondage. No, they couldn't pay me enough to keep you in bondage. I would never give that. I would never give that story. And I'm so glad that one of the young men that I frequent, that Terrence was with me, and he heard it, and he said, that is a lie. See that? Because he sat in the church that I pastored. He heard me preach, and he looked at me, and I said, don't look at me. You deal with this in your own mind. Because after I'm dead and gone, this is what you're going to be confronted with. This tomfoolery, wherever we go. Thank you for those of you who encourage me to keep my website up. I'll keep it up. I'll call it the Biblical Alternative all over again. Because I get discouraged sometimes. I didn't think that anybody was listening. I just thought that I was just wasting my time and wasting my breath with these people. But there's still a remnant out there, just a handful, still listening. So, I'm not making a New Year's resolution. I don't make them. I just needed some facts. I left the paragraph up there and some people responded, so I'm happy about it. God bless you. I'm back, and hopefully tomorrow we'll have another cast for you. Hey, God bless you. Thank you so much. You know who you are. You know who you are. You know, Jason, you sent me that little clip. Ain't that the way it is? Now here you are, you're going to cut the gaze down. But then when you ask to go on Ellen's show, you're going there because, see, take a stand. You've never heard me condemn gay people because I don't condemn straight people. I don't condemn any people. All I know is me and God. That's all I know. God gave me a wonderful wife to love. Ooh, back in 1967. Yeah. Wonderful wife to love. He didn't give me no other woman to love. No other person to love in that way. So I don't have a person in that way. A man or a woman. I don't have them in that way. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of intimate friends, but not in the way of a husband and wife. There will be no one like the wife that I had. I'm not trying to recall her memory or bring her back because she is alive where she is, possibly standing next to me behind me in the studio, listening to me do this. Because I believe that in the spiritual life, that can happen. There were times when I didn't believe it, but there's times that I do believe it. And I believe that my beloved wife would tell me, go on, honey, live your life and keep doing what you're doing for Jehovah God. Ha! I feel as if she's standing right behind me, giving me encouragement. And you know what? I will always be the same person that I always have been. For those of you that remember me pastoring, I'm that same person. I won't put up with your foolishness. I refuse to put up with your foolishness. I don't have to, you see. And so, what I plan to do for the rest of the day, I don't know. What a gorgeous day it is. It was cloudy and raining yesterday, and now just a few clouds in the sky, warm outside. It is just wonderful. I'm going to try to enjoy what's left of it. Hey, listen, God bless you. Happy New Year to you, and I look forward to speaking with you on tomorrow.